Also like to extend a Christian greeting in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This morning it's good to be here. Welcome to each one, our visitors especially. It's good to have you back, Brother Leroy. Thank you for that update. Let's continue to pray for the church in Kurdistan and Lebanon and around the world. I invite you to turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 12 for a message this morning. The title of the message, A Living Sacrifice. And it's especially taken from verse 1, but the whole chapter applies. I believe I will read the 12th chapter of Romans this time. So let's read. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, that's a huge text. And I suppose that we could probably do a dozen messages on this one chapter. So I thought about this chapter. I've been thinking about these verses, and especially the thought that's brought out in verse 1 of being a living sacrifice. Sacrifice that lives. Now, we are familiar with sacrifices, and well, we've read about them. I don't know if you've ever seen a real animal sacrifice or not. I was reading in 1 Kings, and you can listen to these verses. But a dedication of the temple, Solomon, it says in 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 63, Solomon offered a sacrifice of peace offerings, which he offered unto the Lord. 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the children of Israel dedicated the house of the Lord. The same day did the king hallow the middle of the court that was before the house of the Lord, for there he offered burnt offerings and meat offerings and the fat of peace offerings. Because the brazen altar that was before the Lord was too little to receive the burnt offerings and meat offerings and the fat of the peace offerings. And so they continued to honor and worship God and offer sacrifices and celebrate, dedicate the opening of the temple. Now, that's a little hard for us to imagine. I have a hard time imagining that many animals in one place, let alone trying to kill and sacrifice them. But that's what happened. And that's what happened right down through the ages, starting back there when they first offered that sin offering for burnt offering for the sin that was done when Adam and Eve sinned initially. And then offerings were made on down through Scripture up to the New Testament. Some of you are farmers. And some of you are, you call them hobby farmers, not sure. But you've got some animals. And just imagine just a bit. If this afternoon there would be an offering, a time of offering of animals, like it was back in the Old Testament, scheduled. And you are required to bring something. You've got steers, you'd have to go home and pick out a steer. And it couldn't be the one who went lame last week, or the one who one of the boys shot with a BB gun, he's got one eye out. It couldn't be one of those. This has to be a perfect sacrifice. So you go in there and you pick out the best one, the one you choose for yourself, if you'd want to pick out the best one. And then you bring that offering, that steer, that sheep, the best of whatever you're bringing, and you bring it to the temple, and you present it to the priests. I'm not sure who did all the killing there, but I think maybe you had a hand in that as well. And so when you offer that sacrifice, you gave it. You released all hold on it. You brought that beautiful steer, and you helped kill it, and you left it there for the priest to offer on the altar. It was given. It was not coming back. It was a sacrifice. It was an offering that you brought and gave to the Lord, and you left it there. Now imagine doing that with this many animals. It's hard to imagine the. I've helped butcher just a few animals, and it's just kind of a bloody mess. But here, this is where they offered their offerings to God. Going back to Romans chapter 12, when the Apostle Paul starts out there by beseeching the church at Rome, the brothers and sisters there, I beseech you. In the context here, in the first 11 chapters of the book of Romans, I believe the Apostle Paul was sharing with them the basic Christian doctrine. He talked about a lot of subjects, a lot of doctrinal things. And then he comes in, he confirmed them in their minds. And then he comes in chapter 12, and he goes, I beseech you, therefore, and I don't know if you remember this, but I always remember Chris Dash telling us that when there's a therefore, then you have to remember what it's there for. And so he's beseeching you, therefore, the things that I taught you before in the earlier chapters of Romans, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice because of those things, because of the fact that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, because of the fact that you've been washed in the blood of Jesus, you've been set apart, you've been justified by the blood of Jesus, because these things are true. Therefore, I beseech you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I believe the point or the argument that the Apostle Paul was making for the first 11 chapters of Romans is to show the obligation that we have to devote ourselves to God. We have an obligation to do that. It's the reasonable thing to do. It's the right thing to do. It's the only sensible thing to do when you think about what Jesus did for us. The doctrines of the Bible, and including the ones that the Apostle Paul was trying to rivet in their minds in the beginning chapters of Romans, are not designed to be cold or unfruitful items of discussion only. And so the Apostle Paul calls the ones that he's writing to totally dedicate their lives to God, because it's the reasonable, logical thing to do. He concludes that we ought therefore to lead holy lives. And we must do it. We do it because of the mercies of God. You know, we want to do what's right as Christians, and yet without the power of God in our hearts, we find it impossible to do those things that we would like to do. And so it's because of God's mercies, not only in cleansing us from our sins and giving us a path forward, but his power in our lives after we become saved that helps us do the things that we want to do as Christians, do the things that we are called to do as Christians. Mercy has the thought in mind of favor, kindness, compassion to the undeserving. And this mercy is shown to the people that he was addressing. It's shown to Christians. It's shown to us. The mercies of God are new every morning, and we are experiencing them as his people. And that is enough reason and good reason to devote ourselves to God. As we look at the first verse there, it says, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice. As we think about the sacrifices made in the Old Testament for the covering of sin, we can get some applications to our lives in the New Testament then as well. So as the man who brought his steer presented that animal to the priest for the offering that he was bringing to God, it was his offering to God. The blood was shed of that animal. Blood of that animal was shed, and the animal was sacrificed on the altar. So we, as God's people, we are required, we are encouraged, we are exhorted to bring our bodies, present ourselves as a living sacrifice. Now, when they made those sacrifices and offerings in the Old Testament, they were once and done offerings. You gave that steer, and then you had to find another one next week or the next time you did that offering again. It was again and again and again. This offering is a little bit different in that, in some ways a little different. There are some applications to dying as well, dying to self and putting ourselves on the cross with the Lord Jesus. But this is a living sacrifice that God is asking for of us. He's wanting us to present ourselves as a sacrifice, an offering to God, a living offering to God. Presented. It's an action of bringing and presenting an animal or other offering. It's a free will, a voluntary offering. This offering of bringing and presenting yourself is something you do on your own accord. It's a voluntary offering. And you are invited as a reasonable service to God to present yourselves, your entire person and being and energies and all your treasure and just bring it as an offering to the service of God. As that animal was left for the priests to do with what they would, so we bring and present our bodies, and we leave them there on that altar, a living sacrifice. We leave it to God to do whatever He wants with us as we present ourselves. And this is what the Apostle Paul was encouraging the Romans to do. Devote themselves to God as if they had no claim on their own lives. It's like giving the Lord a blank sheet of paper and signing your name and saying, you fill in the blanks here, you fill in the paper, and I'm willing to do what you want me to do. This is what the Apostle Paul was encouraging the Roman church to do. Allow themselves to be disposed by Him, to suffer and bear all that He might appoint to them, and to promote His honor in any way that He might command. And this is the essence, the nature of true religion. This is what it is. This is saying to the Lord, true religion is saying to the Lord, I want you to be able to do with me what you want me, whatever you want me to do, I will do. Sometimes you make the comment that, we had a neighbor who religiously followed a schedule. He was in his 90s when he passed away, but he had a schedule that amazed me. His children were telling it to me after his death, and he had his time when he would eat his breakfast. And then he would watch a couple TV shows, and then he'd go out to eat for lunch, and then he'd have a snack in the afternoon, some grapes. Actually had it spelled out what he would eat. And he religiously followed that schedule and lived to be 94. I don't know if that had something to do with it or not, but we use that term to describe doing something conscientiously, doing something we're intentional about doing what we're doing. This is what true religion is all about. The Apostle Paul says it is a living sacrifice. Animal offering, a deed. He was dead, and they could not be offered again. In contrast to we are to present ourselves with all our energy and life and vitality. And you should start young. Don't wait till you're old and broken down and limping to give your sacrifice. Do it when you're young and full of vitality and energy, and just give the Lord yourself. Put yourself on the altar. What do you want me to do today? At the end of the day, a Christian life is about, we have a living soul. And one day we will stand before Almighty God, presented to God. What we want is to hear, and if we're going to hear that, well done, thou good and faithful servant, then I think our lives are going to have to look something like this. When you present yourselves to God, or when you are presented to God, however that works, you have done so. You've lived your Christian life voluntarily. You've presented yourself to God. You've placed yourself on the altar as a living sacrifice with all your energies. And day after day, you've done that. And after you die, it will be said that he or she lived and died an offering to God. There was a living sacrifice. And those are the kind of lives the Lord will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. You know, sometimes we think that Well, we served in Kenya for a number of years, and people made comments like, "Wow, that was quite a sacrifice, wasn't it?" And in some ways, it probably was. We didn't really look at it the way. There was an element of excitement and adventure and mixed in it for us as well, I think. But I would like to say this morning that living sacrifice, you placing yourself on the altar for God to do with what he wants, is something that should be done right here. It needs to be done right here. And you don't have to do something special to do that. You can do that right in your home, right on the job that you're working. Doesn't matter what kind of home you're in or what kind of job you have. You can do that right there and be that living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. And I'd just like to encourage you that you in that. You know, we went to Kenya, and I discovered that I was the same man in Kenya that was at home. I was supposed to be a missionary, but I was probably about as good a missionary over there as I was at home. So put yourself on the altar and allow God, with the commitment to allow God to do what he wants with you. Right here at home. Right in your situation. I firmly believe that God puts us where he wants us to accomplish his purpose, and it should be our desire to do that. Just allow him to use us and live our lives in such a way that we bring honor and glory to him as we live our lives. This is to be a holy sacrifice without blemish. I mentioned that before. In fact, the children of Israel were forbidden to offer animals with a blemish. Offer animals they knew there was something wrong with. Our sacrifice to God is to be entire and complete, without sin, without blemish. It is to be the best desires and affections of our lives. It's our lives. It's a living sacrifice. Verse 1 continues to say, acceptable unto God, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Acceptable unto God. What is that? What is acceptable to God? And that must be our desire. I believe that to please God should be our highest desire, our goal. Doesn't matter so much what people think of us, as long as God approves of what we do. And so to please God should be our goal. Now when I say that, I'm not promoting an independent spirit that I'll do what I want to do as long as I know it's okay with between me and God. That's not necessarily what I'm saying. But I don't think we should be so concerned about what people think of us that we will actually go against what God wants us to do. And I believe then to find that we have pleased him, to get to the other side and realize, discover for sure that our lives have been pleasing to him, will be the greatest reward that we can experience. The rest of the chapter gives us some clear, interesting, straightforward guidelines about how our lives should look as we have presented them to God, as we place them upon the altar, and we're living our daily life. I mentioned at the beginning that doctrine is not intended to be cold and unfruitful. Something we just talk about. I believe it's very important for us that our Christian lives not only embrace the right doctrine, but then that works out into everyday life as well. And when people observe us, they can say that we have These Christians are different. They're actually following the Word of God. That should be, that connection between doctrine and living it out is something that may not be severed, or we really have a religion that's not very useful at all. And it doesn't please God. God wants us to live out in practical everyday lives the doctrines of Christ, the doctrines of the Word of God. I was afraid this might happen, and so I think maybe I might just do a part two on this message. Let's just go down across Romans chapter 12 and pick out some phrases that stood out to me, and then we'll continue this the next time, which, because of my pushing off my turn for quite a number of Sundays, might be next Sunday. Romans chapter 12. Let's just take a look at that. We'll look at them more closely next Sunday. Verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Verse 3, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. Humility in our hearts is of great value. Verse 7, let us wait on our ministering. And he's talking about teaching and exhorting and giving as well. That just means do it to the best of your ability. Just work it out in a good way. Verse 9, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. And these are the fruits of a man or a woman who is on the altar, has presented himself to God as a living sacrifice. This is how we live out our lives then. Verse 10, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. 11, not slothful in business. 12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. 13, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. 14, bless them which persecute you. 16, be of the same mind one toward another. 17, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest. 18, live peaceably with all men. 19, avenge not yourselves. 21, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. These are the things that should be flowing out of our lives as our lives are upon the altar. And I trust that as we continue serving him, that we can do that. We can practically live out what God wants to see in us as his people. I'd like to give you one example yet in closing. Giving your all, giving everything, putting it upon the altar. Back in Mark chapter 12, as Jesus and his disciples were in the temple, watching the people come to worship and to make their offerings. Verse 41, chapter 12, and Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came in a certain poor widow, and she threw in 2 mites, which make a farthing. He called unto him his disciples, and said unto them, verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. She put her living in the offering box. And that's a tremendous challenge. That's one that I, Brother Leroy said he was what was your word about Pastor Bazot's commitment and willingness, vision. This poor widow puts me to shame. She cast her living in. It would seem like she didn't know where her next meal would be coming from because she cast it into the offering. A living sacrifice. How can you and how can I put our lives on the altar this afternoon, tomorrow, and next week? Let's remember that to please God should be our highest goal, and to find that we have pleased Him at the end of the journey will be our greatest reward. May God bless you.